Looking for the perfect gift this season? Want to avoid the malls and lines this year? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how, for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code BONES in the search bar. That's 77% off. For less than $50, you get two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, a 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus get four additional kielbasa sausages free. All of this for less than $50. If you're looking for convenient and quick shopping for those on your list, go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the code BONES in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
Everybody, welcome to episode 24 of the Bobbycast. Me, Bobby, here with our producer, Mike Destro. Hello, Mike. Yeah. Your mic's not on, Mike.
Four.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
All right, there he is. Mike Destro, everybody. Thank you all. As we start this, my dog is licking the leather. He has this weird fascination with licking leather. It's not just a chair, and we have a guest chair. You know, the Bobbycast is two really comfortable lazy boy chairs, and the reason and the goal is that they come in and get really comfortable, and then they just talk about whatever. And a lot of times when we do this, it's what happens.
It works.
It works. They get into this chair, and they're like, oh, I'm so comfortable. Let me tell you my life story. And so that's part of it. My dog loves to lick leather, all leather. He is not prejudiced toward any type of leather, but he licks it all. And if anyone knows why a dog will lick leather, that'd be awesome. Hey, stop. Stop, dude. But he licks the leather on the couch downstairs, licks the chairs here. So that's what we're dealing with. We're also doing the show on Facebook Live today. Appreciate everybody being here. This morning, I was talking, and I'll just talk sports for just a second. It's not really a sports thing as much as it is a weird listener thing. I was talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and I know that's your team.
Yeah.
And what I said this morning was, and this is what will lead into the story, what I said this morning was, is that the Cowboys, at some point this year, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and by the way, I'm an expert,
mm-hmm.
for years at a national sports talk show, and I only left that because I had to pick. It was weird because I had to pick between the Raging Idiots or doing the national sports talk show, because we'd go on the road and do the Raging Idiots, and I'd find a studio in every city we'd go to. I was miserable,
yeah.
And I love both of them so much, but it ended up being the Raging Idiots. And so I pulled myself off from doing the sports show, but that's my hobby is sports. So what I said was the Cowboys at 10-2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point this season they'll have to rely on Tony Romo for something, and he'll perform. And so that was it. That's what I said. I didn't say what for. I said that. What I said was in the process of a season, a quarterback at some point usually gets hurt for some reason. Sometimes it's not catastrophic. Yesterday, Derek Carr got hurt.
Pinky, yeah.
And he hurt his pinky, and everyone's like, well, great. Because Derek Carr's probably the MVP right now. In my mind, he probably wins the MVP right now. That being said, it was like, oh, he's gone. Throwing hand pinky, you know, oh, goodbye. And he's carrying the Raiders right now, by the way. So, whatever. It happens. I said, this is going to happen. Romo's going to come in. A listener tweets me and goes, you said Dak sucks. I'm never listening to you again. Unfollow.
I saw that.
And to me, it wasn't that she disagreed with me. First of all, she didn't hear what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything about Dak not being good. I remember Dak at Mississippi State dominating people and them not even winning and him dominating with a bad team. They won, but not. If he'd had players around him in Starkville, it would have been different. But what I said was, that in the cycle of a quarterback, everybody gets hurt. Okay, my point about all this is she sends me this tweet. And she goes, I'm never listening to your show again. You suck. You blah, blah. And unfollow, she said. And so I just reply, okay, bye-bye. Like, I don't have... It wasn't even a troll.
Yeah.
Like, trolls just come at you and say mean things to get attention. She was reacting to something. I don't understand the mindset. Even if you would disagree with something I would say, that it's so crazy you would just go, I'm never listening to your show again. Because not only was she a show listener, she's also a Twitter follower, which is a different level. If you listen to the show, that's great. But there are a lot of people that listen to the show that are called, you know, P2s or P3s. You know, maybe not their main show, but if another show is a commercial, they'll come over and listen to us. Because not everybody loves country. Like, I understand that. But maybe, you know what happens with us? More people like to hear us talk than music. Mm-hmm. But we go into these new markets and we can't talk a whole lot because in new markets, they don't know us. So we can't talk a lot because it kills ratings. So it keeps us in this weird place. But it's like, if you listen to the show so much that you've actually followed on Twitter, that second level listener, like, I appreciate that. But something like that's going to make you go, you suck, I'm never listening to you again, and unfollow. I'm like, you just are crazy. It wasn't even that controversial of a statement. Is the weird thing.
That is weird.
I always like it too when people, and I say I like it. I like it because it's fascinating to me when listeners, or anyone for that matter, will want to say a negative comment about someone, and they will tag their name in the tweet just so that person sees it. Meaning, if they're putting out a tweet, let's just use Tony Romo, for example.
Yeah.
They're like, man, I'm such a Cowboys fan, but Tony Romo sucks, and I wish he wasn't our quarterback. Like, you can say that and have that out there, but when they tag at Tony Romo so he sees it too, I'm always like, why do you care if he sees it? Like, does it make you feel good that he sees that you're telling all of your friends that you think that he sucks? That's the weird thing. And I always say, you know, if you're famous, you can't really get online and go, oh, I'm being picked on. Now, you can talk about him. You can make fun of him. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you're a public figure, that's part of it. As long as they're not threatening you, you can block them. Yeah. I was talking to a friend today who's in the music. She's a performer artist. And she was talking about how this guy came onto her Instagram and was saying all of these unpleasant things. I said, okay, block them. She's like, I don't know if I should block them because will that look bad? I said, what do you mean look bad? She goes, well, Instagram is public. I was like, no. Your Instagram's kind of like your house. Would you let someone come into your house and say awful, mean things to you and not say, hey, you need to go? No, of course not. You would say, hey, would you go and punch them in the face? No, probably not. Not at first. But you'd say, hey, you need to go. So I said, delete his comments. And if he comes back in, then lock the door, which is block him. Just block him. There's nothing in this life or this world that says I have to listen to everything you say on Twitter. There are times where people will say things on Twitter and they disagree with me, and I'll be like, dang, you know what? I didn't see it that way. You're making me think about it a different way. And those are the tweets that actually change me sometimes, because I'll go, because you don't learn things from people that you agree with. You learn things from people that you don't agree with. And it's a really hard concept for everyone, including myself, because I'm like, oh, you don't agree with me. I'm probably right and you're not. But I try to maintain that. For example, we were giving Lunchbox a hard time because he yells and doesn't talk. Mm. He screams basically all the time. We're giving him a hard time. And we all piled on him. And it's a typical Bobby Moncho pile on. About once a week, somebody gets piled on too hard. If it's Amy or me or Nada or Lunchbox, somebody gets piled on too hard. And we piled on Lunchbox hard, really hard. And so someone had tweeted, a couple tweets were like, hey, I think you guys were a little mean to Lunchbox. And so I was like, you know what? In my heart at the time I didn't feel like we were. I felt like all of us know the limits, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, we all know each other's limits. The only time that the limit kind of gets pulled in a little bit, quite frankly, was when Amy's on her period. That's when it's kind of like, you got to be a little, and she'll tell me too before, that she's like, listen, it's not my timer. I mean, so I'm a little sensitive. And I'll know then to kind of pull in the reins. Like, okay, let's take a second. Or if someone's having an especially bad day for something that's happened off the air or the day before, we know to kind of give them a little bit of happy space. Other than that, it's like friends on a road trip. If somebody has some reason to make fun of them, you make fun of them until they finally submit and make fun of themselves too. The quickest way to get people to stop making fun of you is to go, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. That's good. Otherwise, we're all like dogs and you're putting steak in front of us. So, especially as you're a radio show and a group of friends trying to entertain and make people laugh. But anyway, I'm back and let's have a Lunchbox clip. And if you didn't know us that well, I think you would have heard it and been like, why are they beating up on that poor dude? Those that know us, and by the way, Lunchbox is by far biggest bully of all of everyone on the show. Would you agree with that statement?
I agree with that, yeah.
But he does it in a... It's a weird thing. Like, it doesn't matter to us. And people complain about Lunchbox a lot. But isn't to us, that's just him. And there's really nothing malicious behind it. There's never really anything malicious around any attacks on the show.
Yeah.
Because if it became malicious in real life... And I've done this before. I've had to tell people, you need to leave the room. Because if the vibe in the room is not right, then the show isn't right.
Yeah.
But I got a tweet and it was like, hey, and I went back and listened to it because I was like, okay. They weren't being angry at me and they were like, hey, I think you guys are piling on Lunchbox a little too bad. And I went back and listened because a listener told me that. So I do read tweets and I do hear stuff that people don't agree with all the time. I don't look at Facebook. I don't go to Facebook. I'm on Facebook Live right now and shout out everybody watching on Facebook Live. But I got to tell you guys, I don't even go look at it because that is just a cesspool of filth. And not everybody, but there's like 15% of people that ruin it for everybody. So I don't even look at it. Nada puts stuff up. I'll go put something up occasionally, but I don't read the comments because all it is fights or people. So I just like, why would I want that into my life? Why would I bring that negativity into my life? The internet is not reality, by the way. And if you think the internet is real, you're out of your mind. And now it's something I had to come in terms with a long time ago. And I was like, man, everybody's got a great life. Like, everybody's got a life that's so much better than me. Why is this happening? Because I would see on Facebook, all my friends, they're all so happy and going on trips and getting presents and just doing fun stuff. Sunday fun day. You know, I was always so jealous of Sunday fun day. Dang, I wanted to go on a Sunday fun day. You go with all your friends on a Sunday and it's so fun day. You know, and you eat food and you laugh. And they always have pictures of them laughing. I was like, dang, I got to get me some Sunday fun day, friends. But really, you only put your best of online. Your greatest hits goes online. No one ever puts their sad day Wednesday online, you know? No one ever goes, hey, check us all out. We're having a sad day Wednesday. So, yeah, you have to understand that online's not reality. Online is everyone's best representative. So you send out your best representative to represent you online. Because you don't post the bad pictures. You don't post the double chin pictures. You know, there are times I look at me from the side, I'm like, geez, how many chins do I have? It's like, I'm not posting that one. But you know what? That's real life. I probably should post those. But yeah, I don't understand when listeners do that. Like they blow up for things and I'm like, And then they come back and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to block you because... Cool. Like, I don't need the negativity. So that happened today. And it's okay. A tweet with a disagreement is different than a mean tweet. And by the way, You want to bring the mean tweets too, that's fine. I'll just block you. Like, I'm not going to be... It annoys me. I told you many times when country artists or artists kind of go, man, people online, they're bullying me. That's what online is. It's people leading their greatest hits life. And people who are mad at them for it. That's what online is. And so if you put yourself out there, expect to be out there. There was some dude that was on one of my friend's accounts on Instagram. And I never met him before in my life. And he starts writing stuff about me. Like, oh, if you only knew the real Bobby. And I'm like, what's the real? Here's the thing. I wrote a book and pretty much put everything in the book. Stories that weren't good, bad, good, funny, all that, right? I wrote a book. And I think I'd be the perfect politician as far as I have no skeletons in my closet. I've been so lame my entire life. I have no skeletons in the closet. No kids running around. No money that I owe a bookie. No, I mean, I've been lame all my life because I've just focused on work and that's it. No past history of anything. And so I was like, oh, you don't know the real. So I Instagram messaged him back and I was like, at whatever his name is. I said, hey, thanks for your real name. I'm going to have my attorney reach out to you for slander since you're saying that. Actually, it's libel was written. I'm an idiot. Yeah. Slander spoken. But, if you write libel, people won't, that doesn't matter to people. So I had to go slander. Because if I go, hey, I'm gonna come at you for libel. A lot of people will be like, ooh, what's that? Libel? Is that like what's on a can? No, that's a label. So, which I'm not. But if you want to play dumb on the internet, listen, I'm good at playing dumb. I'm the greatest troll. And I spent most of my career trolling people, like on the radio. Just fighting with people. Just going after them. And not in a bad way because I would mean it. But, and I think there's a disconnect inside of our format too in country because nobody is critical of anything, period, in our format. Every blog, everything is like, oh, it's just the greatest. It's just so wonderful. Like, at least when you read Rolling Stone, they'll give an album 2 stars.
Yeah.
When you read Billboard, they'll say, you know, out of 4 stars, we give it 1.5. They didn't go out of their way, but when something new comes out, listen, and maybe I'm just different because I'm constantly getting starred with either ratings or people constantly online or, that's the thing about our format. Everything's wonderful. The greatest new artist, the greatest song. And it was like the Eric Church halftime show, the Cowboys game. Oh, yeah. I thought he was fine. I thought it was a totally cheesy performance and it wasn't Eric Church like. Like, he could have come out by himself and played. That'd have been cool. And really showed the people that didn't know who Eric Church, what Eric Church really is. And they were bashing him. Anybody that didn't know who he was just ripping him. Like, what is this mess? And I felt bad because he's awesome, but it was a mess. That halftime performance was a mess. Because they had 40 people out there faking like they were enjoying the show. They paid to come out there, or they gave them free tickets to come out and stand out there. And there were Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders dancing around him. That's not Eric Church like. So if people are watching that, they're like, who's this guy? And with sunglasses on in the daylight, it didn't represent what he really is and was. And everybody was like, that's the greatest halftime performance ever. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Church's fault. But a little bit, because he was like, yeah, I'm into this. Or we got paid a buttload of money. And even then, you know, everybody can do whatever they want to do. Trust me, I made a million bad decisions as far as putting myself in places too. But it's like you don't believe everything if everything is great all the time. If everything is positive, if my boss only told me positive things all the time, I would think, okay, well, there's something to this. They're probably talking some negative about me and he's not telling me because the world isn't all positive. Some of the world is not good and you got to take the good with the bad and it makes equal. And hopefully you're performing at a rate that's better than good. But if you don't have someone in your life that can tell you when things aren't great, then you are going to suffer for it in the end because you're not going to know reality. Like if I go out and or I have jokes that aren't funny and Lindsay will be like, yeah, I didn't think that one was that good. Or I didn't think that one worked that well. Or Rod, even my boss. And I've been like, hey, you got to tell me if you hear a segment that, you know, goes on too long or isn't funny or is, and again, it's all subjective. But he will. He'll be like, oh, I didn't like there was one that Lunch did honk for Hillary. He just nailed me about that one. He was like, that was way too long. It wasn't good. And I was like, yeah, I know. And we blame Lunchbox on the air because Lunchbox kept going, let it play. Let it play. It gets funnier. And it never got funnier. But really, it's my fault. Like, Buck stops with me on anything that goes up off the air. All that. I don't know what my point was with that whole rabbit hole, do you?
You're talking about Eric Church.
No, I think our format's way too polite all the time. So it seems fake. And you don't want to seem fake. The most authentic format shouldn't seem fake. And when everybody... I mean, I know artists that despise each other. And they act like best buddies. I just wouldn't act like a buddy. I'd be like, I don't. They're artists. I don't care. I'll put them on the show. It just wouldn't be real. I don't know. That's all. As I look at all the, there's some really good blogs. Some of them are a little too cushy, like giving people a little. Also, how are people supposed to get better if they don't know? Like, I wouldn't get better if I didn't know this sucked and that sucked, and if ratings didn't show what this was good and this was, I'd have no idea. I'm like, well, this sucks. Didn't learn anything here. Everybody watching on FaceTime, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Here's someone. What's up with you never booking shows in Southern California? We do well booking shows in places that we're on the radio. Otherwise, frankly, ain't nobody heard of me. I mean, the book did decent. I mean, the book did fantastic, but you can look at the metrics and where it was bought, and 88% of it was bought in markets that we're in, which again, it's close to 100 cities. So it's not like we're only in a couple places, but yeah, we're not on in LA. So if I were to go to LA and be like, I'm going to do a show, like nobody would come. Nobody would come. And I'm starting the whole stand-up show. I'm doing a whole tour next year, and I'm doing it with Walker Hayes, which if you've been listening to this or the radio show, I've been a huge fan forever. And so I'm pumped for a couple of reasons. One, and I've been doing some stand-up single dates. I go out and do a stand-up show on a Friday night, you know, for a theater of 1,000, 2,000 people or so. And then we do a Raging Idiot show the next night or something like that, because I wanted to go. And I would also open up some of the Raging Idiot stuff and do stand-up practice jokes and stuff, practice material. But I'm a huge Walker Hayes fan, and so he's going to come out on the road and be the support. So there's going to be music and support. So Walker Hayes, so I don't know where you are, but if you go to BobbyBonesComedy.com, you can see all the dates for the whole tour next year, which is January through May as of right now. And Walker Hayes will be playing musically. And so here, I'll play some Walker, because Walker's got these EPs. It's two of them that probably my favorite record this year. And that says a lot, because Urban's record, I really enjoyed that. Dirk's, Marin's, there are some good records, but I think I like Walker's better than all of them because it's so different.
It's too bad being funny and being happy ain't the same thing. It ain't the same thing. The
song's called The Comedian.
It's so sad. Some of the loneliest hearts in the crowd are the most entertaining. Such a strange thing. Here's to the ones who make us laugh to keep themselves from crying. Here's to the ones who make us laugh to keep themselves from crying.
So he's got stuff like that, but he's also got stuff like this, like Face on My Money.
Ooh, shit, I could put your face on my money, honey. Ooh, shit, I could put your face on my money, honey. Ooh, shit, I could put your face on my money, honey. Wish I could put your face on my money, looking sexy on a honey.
So I think it's going to be fun. So it'll be Walker Hayes and myself, and I'm also bringing out Nikita Carmen. And she'll be like the opener, and she's hilarious and awesome, and she's Australian. And
all I wanted was a nice change, no games, crazy kind of spark. All I wanted was a good guy, no time.
That's called Out of the Park. So anyway, the tour would be fun. I'm really excited about doing all of that, because with the Raging Idiots, it's a lot of overhead and a lot of wrangling cats, because we'll take a bus out, got to pay for the bus. 10 people a lot of times. You got Justin the Suit, who's tour managing, bass player, drummer, Eddie, myself, Nikita, who sings in the group, Ahmad, who's my trainer, who comes in background singing. And so it started to be, you know, we take our merch that we put on can'tseeapparel.com, which every piece of merch is connected to a charity, but we sell that at shows too. So by the time we get it all out there, man, we're rolling MC Hammer deep. So it'd be nice to break that down a bit and go and do some stand-up comedy for a while. Somebody was on Instagram today, and they were like, hope you practice some jokes, because it's not easy. I mean, listen, I don't expect anybody to know what I've been doing, but I have practiced. I've been practicing for about a year. Hard for about a year. Yeah. So I would open for the Idiots and do 20, 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes, depending on if there were two openers, I would go quicker. But if there was just one, like in Tampa, I did 45 minutes. Mickey Guyton opened, and then I did 45 minutes in the Idiots play. That was a crazy night. Shout out Tampa. You know another weird thing about Tampa? Did I talk about this? How the people waiting outside got mad at me?
No.
So what happened was the Tampa show was nuts. It was a sold out show for 3,000 people in a theater. You know that big theater picture on Instagram?
Yeah.
Monster theater. Such a good crowd. Like, Tampa is awesome, right? So we go down, and after the show, I try to go back and say hi to anybody who's waiting. And because we'll do a meet and greet before the show, and it depends, maybe 100 people, 200 people, whatever. And then after the show, whoever's meeting, I'll try to go say hi to them. And it's always real weird because it's still on the property of the place. They're trying to go home. Security's like, let's go. Not my security, their security. It's because they don't want to be there till 1 o'clock in the morning. So I go out, we try to take pictures, you know, try to make it quick, but I try to say hi to everybody. Well, Tampa, we had played so long because the crowd was awesome and they were like, play more songs. And we're like, we don't know many more, but we'll try. So we were getting out, like dressed to go out, and they're like, you have 10 minutes before we go on overtime, which is a pretty hefty multi-$1,000 immediate payment you have to make. And so we had 10 minutes to get packed and get off the premises. So that means we have 10 minutes. That's it. So we got, and our hotel was like a block and a half over. So we're like, oh crap. And we jump in the vans, and nobody was in the vans because the vans, they were inside of a structure. So we go, and I wasn't in the van with Justin the suit. I was actually in a small car. But Justin the suit and the van drove by, and everybody was like, boo, we wanted to meet you. And I didn't go out that way, but I saw it. And so we went like a block over to a hotel, and people walked over there, and we took pictures with them and stuff. And I got on Snapchat, and I was like, anybody that didn't know we came over because they kicked us out of here? They didn't kick us out. No. Our time was up. These people have jobs and hours, and they were about to hit overtime. We can't afford to pay them overtime. And so we had to leave, and I felt bad about it, but there was nothing that I could do. We could have played a shorter show. I just had never been faced with a union deal of, if we go 1 minute over, you owe us. So yeah, I felt bad, but I was kind of in a bad spot too. But it's a good place to be, just a bad spot. So I kind of felt crabby. But a lot of people came over to the hotel, and I posted on Instagram. Right, we're at the hotel, and the address and stuff was right above. But yes, people were really upset about that. And I was like, I felt bad, but there's really nothing I could do except for what we did. I wasn't paying more money. I just wasn't. We couldn't afford it. So, yeah, that was that. That whole Tampa thing. I meant to talk about that last time, and it didn't turn out so good. If you're watching on Facebook Live, thanks for hanging out on the Bobbycast. I was at the airport yesterday. Is that Monday?
Yeah.
At the airport yesterday. And I'm fine. I love watching. Now I'm kind of back into the news again. I needed a break for a while. Kind of back into watching the news. And I like to watch all the newses because I like to see all the sides. Like MSNBC is for sure left. Fox News is for sure right. CNN is the closest to being down the middle. And even they're just a little on the edge of the left. But they're the closest to real life. But like I like Politico, like there are sites that just are real news, right? And so I'm kind of into it now, reading about the process. But I don't think publicly you should have big loud conversations about it still right now. And I'm at the airport, and I was flying Southwest. I always fly Southwest, so I'm at the polls. And in Southwest, you have the polls, 1 through 5, yeah. If you have the ticket number. I was A3, so I was balling, right? Like it's pretty close to being first class. Except they don't have any sort of first class at all. You just get to walk on the plane first and get your window seat. And I always sit as I'm looking on the right side about 12 rows back every time. Creature habit. So I'm just trying to get my seat, right? And I go, but as I'm standing there, the woman goes, and that's why Obamacare sucks. And I'm like, oh my God, is this really going to happen? And her friend was like, yeah, anybody that even, and someone goes, why don't you shut up with your policy? And this is in the airport.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, oh no. I felt uncomfortable, and usually I like awkward. I even like being embarrassed for me sometimes. It's an emotion. I don't have a lot. I'm always pretty even keel about everything all the time. So whenever I have a crazy emotion, like super happy, which is very rare, super sad, which is very rare, any of these real life emotions, like I treasure them, even like sad or being embarrassed. Like, I like being embarrassed. It's just a real, in your face, you feel it right in the middle of your gut emotion. And I love those moments. I didn't like this, though. It made me so uncomfortable. I didn't like this. And so they started kind of bickering. They didn't know each other. And I was like, man, political talk right now is just not for public. It's just everything is so divided. I hate it. I hate it that it's so divided. Like, you're supposed to just absolutely hate a person that doesn't have your same feelings on what's happening politically. That's what and it's gotten so much worse in the past 10, 12 years. It hasn't always been like this. And if you're young now, you're 19, 20 years old, this is just what you know. But it hasn't always been like this. It hasn't always been, you're never best friends. Although I knew people that would be, and you know, political people. They'd be on both sides and they'd be like, rah, rah, rah. But in real life, they were good friends. But it's bad right now. And they're fighting in the airport. And it was really, really awkward. And I, you know, almost pulled out the old phone and tried to get it on Instagram, but it wasn't. They weren't going to fist fight each other, and it was too awkward even to like put online. Yeah. Like, you see the guy on TMZ that was screaming at the people on a Delta flight, and he was like, "Trump is my president, and are you Hillary B's on?" And he was calling them names. He was screaming, "Cut off shirt," as I wear a cut off shirt, but this was like a cut off, like what I compare it to. A cutoff 1978. Let's change it up.
Okay.
How about a cutoff 1987 Metallica t-shirt?
Okay, I got you.
I'm trying to tell you what kind of person it was. And he was screaming to everyone, like, "This is my president." And I was like, "Dude, why are you doing this in public?" Like, he was drunk, though, too. But it was all over TMZ, and Delta did nothing about it. They let him just sit there and scream in the middle of the flight. And I saw they put out an apology today, like, "We shouldn't have let someone," because everyone of the passengers was like, "This is awkward." Like, they were all looking down. No one thought it was funny except the one person who had the phone out and was filming him. And even then, they were having to do it covertly. And they were like, "Oh," you could hear them like going, "Oh, that, I don't like that. I don't like that." So I'm going to run for office. I don't even know what party I would run under. I don't know. I don't care. Like, which party's open? I'll slide in. And I'm not going to match anything. I'm not going to match any one of them issue for issue politically. But I match both of them in a way. I can fit on either side. I bring the world together. People don't even know what's going to happen. I got to talk to my boss because I'm serious about this. If things aren't, you know, wonderful with the next contract, I'm not going to – I don't think – I shouldn't say I'm not. I shouldn't talk in you know, definites. I don't think that I'm going to go over to one of these. Like, I love where I work. I love iHeartRadio. And I don't really want to go over to, and I don't want to say their names, but as I said before, I've reached out, like, "Hey, when's your contract up? We'd love to have you come over and do a show," or, you know, and curate whatever. I'm just not interested in that. I want to go be a governor of Arkansas. And so I'll have to move and start my political campaign. That's not just, I'm not going to go run for governor immediately, but you got to put some roots in. The fact that the governor of Arkansas called the show last week is pretty crazy, though. He was like, "Come on, come to the governor's mansion. We'll have dinner." And I was like, "Okay, next year, like January, February." So I'm going to go do that because that's my goal. Like, and if this airport, doesn't work out, that's what I plan to do. And maybe if we sign another deal, which I hope is the case, frankly, I hope we do sign another long-term deal for 5 years or so, great. Then after that, I think that's probably what I do, is go and start my political career. I'm just so motivated by how polarized the nation is that it's going to take someone who kind of has the beliefs of both and the understanding that someone's got to come in and deal with this. And that's my goal. That's even my goal on the radio. That's even with the old school and the new school. Like, don't even get me started on that, too. Because I've talked about this on the podcast many times. So, yeah, that was a really odd exchange at the airport. At the gym, here's another odd exchange. I guess odd for me. For a while, it was, "Hey, you got a girlfriend?" And people were surprised by that. Today, I was at the gym, and there's a trainer there who... I like her a lot, and I hadn't seen her because she's pregnant, and so I think she took some time off. And so the first time I saw her today in a while, she goes, "Was that a picture of you and your girlfriend online?" I was like, "I don't know which picture was it." She goes, "Blonde girl." I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "She's hot. I wasn't expecting that." And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Because it's like, it's weird in two ways. One, do you say thank you when someone says your girlfriend is hot? Like, "Hey, your girlfriend," even if she had said, like, "Your girlfriend's hot," am I like, "Well, thank you. I did it. I created her. That is, I'm so happy you found the product of this hot." And then two, not only was that part of it kind of awkward, but it was the fact that she was surprised I would have a pretty girlfriend. She was like, that's her? Your girlfriend's hot. And I was like, so confused. Thank you for, one, not thinking I could get a pretty girl, and two, not thinking I could get, I don't know. It was a whole weird thing today. But it was an honest thought from her. I enjoy honest thoughts from people, even if they don't make sense. Because she just said what was in her mind. Had she thought about it, she wouldn't have said it like that. I like when people just say stuff. Good or bad, I like when people just say stuff. I like people say what's on their mind. Just put it out there. Say what you see what you say. If you do that all the time, some people aren't going to like you, but a lot of people are going to love you, and everybody's going to respect you. If you do it. There are people that I don't know, but I will watch on TV. And can't stand them. Absolutely respect them for having an opinion and always sticking to it. There are a lot of public figures that I'm like, ooh, I'd never be your friend. I do not like you. But I think it's awesome that you always say exactly how you feel, because everybody wants the truth unless they don't like it. That's the problem with today. Like, everybody's like, oh, I want honesty and truth. Unless they don't like it. Like, everybody's like, you know what? Just give me authenticity. Unless I don't like part of that authentic story you're telling, or that authentic opinion. I just want the truth. Unless it's the truth that I don't really agree with, and then I don't want it anymore. That's pretty much everybody right now. But I did appreciate that. We played a flag football game at Westlake High School in Austin. Monster football stadium. And it was, I think there were probably 20 of us. Average age of all 20, probably 32 years old. Some older, some younger. And I was a pretty good athlete when I was in school. In the smaller divisions, I was good. But when I would go play Legion ball, I was pretty good. Because then you're playing all the big schools and the big kids. And so that was high school, like it's been a while. So I was a pretty good athlete in comparison to the big schools. I was a really good baseball player and a slightly above average football player. I just wasn't big. And I was just a small kid. So when it came to football, I was just getting crushed. Like, I could catch, but I mean, I had decent speed. But I mean, when you're 5'9", 148 pounds as a senior, like, I didn't grow until college. But so anyway, I'm losing about a quarter of a step every year that I try to play something. And I went out and we played in the yellow team, which I haven't played on in 3 years. The last time I played with them was 3 years ago. There were two games I missed that third year. So I guess it's only really been 2 years, but three games. We won. I played quarterback and we won. And I didn't play the last 2 years because Thanksgivings were kind of weird. I couldn't get out of here. This Thanksgiving, I went back to the Turkey Bowl and played again. And goal one is not to get injured. And goal two is to win. And goal three is to have fun. And in that order. And so when I put myself in competitive environments, I really turn into someone I don't like. If it's a competitive environment where I'm not supposed to be the guy that's on the radio, like if it's just like you're just a guy and you're just out competing trying to win, I don't like me because I get way too competitive. I just want to win. Now, if I'm out and it's a charity event, or I'm cool, I'm good, I'm cool because I know my place. Like, I'm there to have fun for a great cause. I don't get too wrapped up in it. But if it's time to, there's no crowd. It's just wives and friends watching. Maybe 30 people watching. It wasn't even about that. It was just dudes out there, all Uncle Rico-ing it, reliving our glory days. I mean, I'm not gonna act like we weren't all like trying to be what we used to be. And so I played quarterback and we won, and I haven't thrown a football 5 times in the past 8 months. I threw it probably 80 times hard that day. So my left side is just killing me. But we were playing this game and just to give you an idea, and I'll do the sports part of it, and this is so lame, but just to give you the idea, I almost got into a fight with the guy on my own team. Because, again, it was so competitive. We play 4 20-minute quarters, right? That's a long flag football game. And so, again, most of us are tired. You don't, even though I exercise a lot, you don't exercise like that. Runs, goes, cuts, stops, jumps, dives. I mean, my knees are scraped up right now. We were up by 3 points with about a minute and a half left. And it's hard to stop in flag football. Like, most of the time you score. If you can get a stop, it's like playing Madden. It's rare you get a stop, and when you do, they're very valuable. And so most times with five Mississippi rush and man coverage, you score. Every once in a while, one out of eight times you'll stop them, but most of the time you score. So it was, we had fourth and 13 because first downs were 20 yards. It was like fourth and 13, and we were back near their end zone. And I was like, we're going for it. Because I knew if we didn't get it, we'd let them score. They'd take a 4 or 5 point lead, and at least we had a minute left to drive down the field and try to win the game. Otherwise, had we punted, they had that whole minute and a half to use the field and score a touchdown. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So it's 4th and 13. We don't get it. And the next play, we let them score. And the reasoning was we needed more time because now they're up 5, and we have a minute 15 to drive down the whole field, which is pretty quick, but we can do it, and try to win the game. Like, it's now, at least we have our own destiny in our own hands. But we didn't get it. I was like, just let them score. And this guy who's huge, by the way, he's probably 6'5 on our team. We let him score, and he goes, that's the stupidest effing thing I ever heard, like under his breath. Me, being the jack, butt that I am, because I would have got, he would have put his fist in my head. I'd had no choice. He'd have killed me. I was like, do you have a problem? If so, say it to my face. Again, instinctually. And he lifts up, he goes, yes, that was a stupid thing. You mean say it to your face? Yeah, say it to my face. So he comes up and gets in my face, right? He's way bigger than I am. And listen, I wouldn't have stood a chance in a fight. I'm just going to tell you right now, I would not end it good for me. And he says it in my face. I said, don't you feel better about saying it to my face than whispering it under your breath? I'm not going to do anything to you. You're way bigger than I am. But now you just said it to my face. Like, be honest about it. And so we're bickering back and forth a bit. We go down. I throw a touchdown pass. We win the game with like 8 seconds left. Whatever. He made a big catch too going out. But that's the little monster that hides inside me. Ready for a fight. In a movie theater, if someone gets on their phone, like I will yell at someone in the theater, not knowing how old they are or how big they are. If they're with their boys, that irritates the monster. Like, that's sticking the feather right in the monster's butt and going, tickle, 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 tickle. Because, again, who am I going to fight? Who am I going to beat? The only thing I got is stamina. Like, we're going to fight. I'm probably going to last a little longer than a lot of you guys because I'm in really good shape. Unless you just punch me in the face and I'm out. So I'm going to guard the face, and then I'm just going to lock up and try to out-shape you because I'm in better shape than you are. So most people. That's why Eddie and I, like, we always talk, like, I would kill Eddie. I'd kill him just because he's not in great shape. And so, but again, I am no fighter. But I remember once this guy was texting in the movie, and he wouldn't stop. Big dude, too. I don't know, 20s or 30s. I don't even know how old he was. And about the third time, I was like, dude, will you please turn your phone off? We're trying to watch the movie. And he put his phone off, and he popped off and said something. And I was like, the whole movie, I was like, great. I'm about to get my butt kicked out of the movie. Like, I wish somebody else would have stepped in. But I was like, I'm going to get my butt kicked for sure after the movie. And so he put his phone up. The lights came on after the movie, and I was just trying to get out of there. Like, again, I know my place. I'm not a fighter, and I probably shouldn't pop off like that. And that's the only place I get a temper. Like, I work on the golf course, so if somebody hits golf balls on me, if I'm ever playing golf, that makes me mad. Movie theater makes me mad, or I'm competing. So the lights come on in the movie theater, and the guy gets up, and I'm like, oh, my, I can't move, by the way. I'm like five people in, so I can't get out because I'm ready to run, by the way. Don't let this bravado of me be like, oh, I'll talk trash for you. I was ready to run out of the theater. Like, he stopped. All I wanted to accomplish was him stop texting. And he did. So I was trying to fight him. I was trying to get out of there. But I couldn't leave. And there was an old lady, like, in a walk or two, like two people over. So I couldn't even be like, excuse me. So I get up. And I don't want to look over because he's like nine people over to the left. I'm like, I'm going to look over and he's going to look at me. He's going to be bigger than I am. He's going to whoop my butt out of the parking lot. And I had a girl with me at the time. It doesn't even be worse. I was going to get beat up in front of a girl. I look over. He probably wasn't a day over 11. So I was talking trash to an 11-year-old in a movie theater. And I was like, oh, thank God. He probably still would have beat me up, though. But, yeah, that movie theater, those golf balls, and those, yeah, that's just not good. I shouldn't do that. It's, you know what it is? It's called, when you get picked on your whole life, you have something inside of you that feels like people are always trying to get the better of you or pick on you, or, and it's something that I think I work through in therapy a lot, and I haven't been in therapy in a while, and I should probably get back under control. Would you agree? Ugh. It makes me ashamed of myself. And I'm even killed 90% of the time, but I feel ashamed of myself. There's a little monster that comes out. And I was like, dude, I was like yelling at the ref. We hired a ref, and I was just, it was just not good. Like, I'm ashamed of myself. It was not good. And what, because in my mind, I'm trying to get in the ref's head.
Yeah.
It's, if I can stay on him so much that he's like, God, if I can just shut him up by not making a call against his team. Like, that's in my mind, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm just going to hammer this ref. Like, what? That's the stupidest call I've ever seen. You got to be kidding. And I'm doing it loud and in front of everybody. So he's like, so that way, if it comes down to it, he's like, oh, should I make the call? He's like, I'm not going to make the call because I don't want to get yelled at. And that's the reasoning, is a terrible reason. I'm not a good person when it comes to competing. I'm not a good person. I try to be a good person in my life. We're all human. I've not met one single person that is a human, by the way. Of all the greatest people in the world that I know, ain't nobody that great. Of all the bad people that I know, and again, I don't know the worst of the worst or the best of the best. I just know people. The worst people that I know really aren't that bad. Like, everybody's human. Sometimes you find characteristics about people that hit you hard and you're like, ooh, I just cannot be around this person. But the rest of them is probably pretty good. I mean, there are artists, a couple that I just do not get along with at all, zero. One, because, you know, one of the guys I know treats fans like crap. And I don't like that, because I feel like with fans of artists or listeners of the show, if I'm going to do something, and first of all, if you're listening, yeah, there are 100 options. You don't have to listen to the show. You don't have to listen to this. You could listen to whatever you want on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. You can go around the world, listen to whatever you want right now. And the fact that you're listening to this, like, I appreciate that, because I know that you definitely don't have to. This is not 1974 where there are four channels and you have to watch MASH. That's not what this is right now. This is a world of, okay, you know, I'm kind of bored with this. Let me see what else I got. So, like, I appreciate that. If people come out to a show, like my stand-up comedy tour that I start next year, and they pay money, I don't see myself as this big star on stage. I see myself as one of the people. Because people are spending their money that they have worked all week and pay their bills and their car payments, and they're taking whatever money that they have extra and they're spending it to come out and watch. Like, you have to appreciate that. That's why I felt so bad after the Tampa thing, because it was like, oh, it looks like I didn't care. I mean, it looks like I was just out of there, and that sucked. The only time that I'll do that, I've done it a couple times. Once, I remember the times that I've done it, because it stays in me. Once in D.C., I was really sick, and we did a show. It was a radio show with a bunch of other acts, and I had to go back to my room. I was so sick, and Eddie and Cruz stayed, and it was when Cruz was working with the show still, and I remember that, because I just don't do that very often. In Austin, it was weird. I did meet people, but I didn't get to go out, because that venue in Austin, Nutty Brown's right by the highway, and they made everybody leave the actual, they always make you leave in front of the stage, like if you're in a crowd. And except for that, in front of it, there's not a lot of room. There's just a highway running by. But people came to the fence, and I went and met as many people at the fence as I could. But yeah, those stick with me whenever I can't actually say hi to people, because people don't go to anything they want. And they're going to spend money or watch this video on FaceTime or listen to the radio. Like, when people don't appreciate that, I'm like, man, you better be really freaking good. Like, you better be Eminem good. Like, Eminem's like, I don't give a F. Don't talk to me in public. He says that. And you're like, oh, you're probably not a nice guy, but dang, your music's so good. I still like you. I'm not good enough to be a jerk. And I think that's why I try not to be. I'm just not good enough to be a jerk. I don't even know that I would be. I hope I wouldn't be. But I'm ingrained that I don't have the talent to be a jerk. And if I had, who knows? If I was the greatest radio person of all time, maybe I'd be just this huge dick. But I'm not, so I'm not. I don't know. I wish I was. I wish I at least had the option. But I don't. But no, I just appreciate when people, like, you know what's big to me is when someone calls the show. Because, and I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't come off the wrong way, but who calls a radio show? I would never call a radio show. I have. I say that, but I have called sports shows. And they're like, oh, I got to get on in this. But it's rare. And so I appreciate when people pick up their phone in their busy morning and call the radio show. To me, and I say that sometimes and I get on this long tangent and I know people get bored with it, but that's really crazy. And it's so cool that people will call a radio show and sit on hold for 5 minutes or 25 minutes, depending for a commercial break or another topic. Or like, that's a big deal. And so, yeah, that's cool to me. That being said, speaking of radio, our St. Jude Radiothon, and I don't know when you hear this. You may hear this after the Radiothon, but we're doing this Radiothon on Thursday. And so it's the first year that they've said, hey, we're going to do one day the way we've always done it, which is stories and a lot of sad stuff and some happy stuff. But why don't you do it the way that you want to do it on the first day? And I'm like, cool, first thing, let's do a text in to be a partner in Hope. We've never given people that option before. And so there's a text in number. And there's a Pimp and Joy shirt that comes with it. If you become a partner in Hope, it's like $20 a month. And it's never been, I just want to make it more available. Because, again, calling to me is a big thing to do. People's days are busy in the morning. You got kids. You got work. You're probably late. You're in traffic. You probably should talk on the phone depending on where you are. You probably should talk on the phone anywhere. But so I was like, hey, let's text in to be a partner in Hope. And you text in, you get a link, fill it out. Boom, you're $20 a month in. Partner in Hope, you're helping a great cause, St. Jude. You get a Pimp and Joy t-shirt. Boom. I was like, I also want to bring in like live music acts, and I want this big sense of positivity. And you know what? Not all stories are positive. And we'll share some that aren't, but I want this to be about positivity because of the good that St. Jude does. You got to understand with St. Jude in that hospital is that they work off of donations. It costs $2 million a day for that thing to stay open. And it's an amazing place. And you know, it's, yes, the building is in Memphis, but I bet you, I don't know the percentage, probably not that many kids are from Memphis there. They take kids from all over the country. It's in the middle of America is why it's there, basically, because they take kids from all over. If you have one of the cancers they're working on and you get a doctor to say, yep, St. Jude takes you. They pay for everything, travel, food, lodging, cover bills, all this. Again, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this place. And Raging Idiots played there a month and a half or so ago, and I try to do as much for them as I can, but I called in a bunch of my friends to come play on the show, and I'm very gracious to them for their waking up early in the morning, because Kelsey Ballerini is going to come in and play. And these were friend calls. You know, sometimes, you know, when artists have things to promote, it goes to a record label, and we try to keep it all professional. But these were friend calls. So it was Kelsey, Low Cash, Chris Jansen, Lauren Elena, Lindsay L., and Caitlin Smith are going to come in together. And the reason that I didn't let Lindsay come in by herself is because I just didn't want there to be the elephant in the room and us not to talk about it, because the St. Jude Radiothon is not the time for us to talk about our relationship on the air. And Caitlin Smith is awesome. She's been on the Bobbycast too. She's doing the $1 million show for St. Jude as well. And I was like, I really enjoy these two humans. They'll be fantastic together. And I don't want it to be about Lindsay and I at all. So they're going to play together. There's so, like, Logan Mize, who we played, It Ain't Always Pretty. He's going to come in and play. So I made a bunch of friendship calls. Jared Neiman's coming in. Dustin Lynch is coming in. So it'll be good. And if you're hearing this after the Radiothon, I'd encourage you, one, just to check out St. Jude and see what it's all about. If you're looking for something to check out, like if you feel like in your heart you need to do more financially, or you can do more. Sometimes you can't. And trust me, I get that too. But that's there for you. So that's happening. And it's the first time that we've ever done it this way. So all the pressure in the world is on. Because they haven't done it this way in ever. All the evers. So I hope if you're watching on FaceTime Live, or if it's pouring down rain. Yeah. Like, I don't know if people can hear that through the phone, but it's pouring down rain. There's that. Yeah, I got laser hair removal, by the way. Oh, I have a commercial, too, I need to get to in a minute. But I got laser hair removal. This is laser hair removal is not a commercial, by the way. We've been with Ideal Image on the air for like 12 years. Been a great client of ours. Amy has been many times. And I never have. I've always been the guy, like, I'm always like the straight guy. You know, the guy that's like, I don't know. Can you hear that rain through the microphone?
No.
You can't or can't? I mean, regardless, it's pouring here. So I've always been the guy, and I've been in and learned about it. And they have real nurses, and it's like I can do the commercial backwards and forwards. Been working with them for 12 years. Love them as a company, but never had actually been in. And I was on Instagram. I was considering it anyway. And I was on Instagram. And I let them get to me. Let the trolls get to me. I try not to. There's a picture of me laying with the dog, and it had some hair coming off my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, you remember the picture? Do you see the hair?
I remember all the comments.
Oh, people were like, "You're disgusting. Look at that." And I was thinking about it anyway. I was like, "I'm just going to go ahead and go in." So I went in to get laser hair removal on my shoulders. Yeah. And so, like, I got it in the front and the back and the side. So it takes a few times to go in. But it really was, like, not... I mean, it's actually pretty good. Like, I went and they shaved me. I was like, all right. Like, two nurses did. And I made a really awkward joke. Because, again, I have no shirt on. And I'm in there because they're doing my shoulders. And they're, like, shaving my shoulders and top of my chest. And I'm like, dang, when I go to Vegas, this costs a lot. And, again, I'm just feeling uncomfortable. So I'm making these jokes. And finally, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stop. So I go and, dude, it took, like, 25 minutes. I was out. And so... I can't wait to be hair-free and carefree. Not even commercial. But I got to go back a few more times or a couple more. I'm not even sure how many more times. But you go in like every 8 weeks or so, and they do it again. They draw little white boxes on. Like for me, it was my shoulders. They draw white boxes on your shoulders with like a white pencil. And so that's so they make sure to get every hair. And the girls doing it. These were two girls. They probably have a guy working there too. But the girls doing it, they're both real nurses. So it's not like somebody... Anyway, this is not a commercial. I just went and I was like, I've been talking about this for 12 years. I've never actually done it before. And so I did it. And so I can't wait to be hair-free and carefree. You know how many jokes I did about getting my butt or my balls done? Way too many. I was just uncomfortable. And I was like, all right, so I guess we're on to the scrotal next, huh? And... I'm such an idiot. I just don't do well in situations. I go automatic joke mode. That's my defense mechanism. Make a joke. Feel uncomfortable? Make a joke. About to get beat up? Make a joke. Sad? Make a joke. Let me do this. Sleep number. I have one about 20 feet from me. I have a sleep number bed. I love my sleep number bed. And you've heard me talk about it. My sleep number is 30. It's always been 30. I should go back in and get my number rechecked. But you go into the store. You lay on the bed. And they go, okay, let's look at your back, your neck. And on a computer screen, it shows your body. And so that's what happens there. And Morgan's FaceTiming me right now. Let me hold on. Hello?
Okay.
I'm recording the Bobbycast right now. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I was just going to see if you saw the song choice I sent you and if you approve it.
Who is it from?
Dustin Lynch.
What song does Dustin Lynch want to do?
I Feel Good by James Brown.
That's cool. I don't know how... Sure.
With the sax player.
I mean, even better. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, well, that's all I needed. Continue on your podcast.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Could you hear her?
Yeah.
That's Morgan. Morgan pretty much runs the show now. Back to my sleep number bed. I love it. Now I have sleep number pillows, and you can actually get one of the comfort fit pillows. And the cool thing is, really, is basically for me, is that it stays the shape that I like it. I mean, there are lots of things. They have lots of things. That you can talk about, like a unique feel blend of, I like it because it's comfortable and it stays how I like my pillow. So it's a great gift. Again, the comfort fit pillow at a sleep number store. And again, pillows are great gifts for people that you kind of care about, but not a whole lot. A good pillow though is a different, a good pillow is like good luggage, by the way. Yeah. Lindsay bought me some luggage recently and it is fantastic. And it's not something I'd ever buy myself. Because you're like, who wants to buy freaking luggage? It's like a refrigerator. You're like, why? I got to spend money on a refrigerator? And you have to use it. You need one. But it's like a waste. Are you kidding me? I buy a refrigerator? This thing's expensive. Same thing with luggage. And she bought me good luggage. But good pillows the same way. Sleep number stores. Right now you can buy one. Get one 50% off. Check out all their great gifts for smarter sleep. You only find one in any of the 500 sleep number stores nationwide. There you go. Sleep number. Let's see here. I'm looking over on Facebook Live right now. Let's see. Hello, everybody watching. I just look at some comments here. Hello from Pennsylvania. That is Terry Castle. We have Adriana Valdez saying hello. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thanks for watching on FaceTime Live as we do this here. Mike, how long has this one been?
About an hour right now.
Holy crap. I can just talk for an hour?
Yeah.
That's nuts. I think that's... Bridge City, Texas. A lot of people saying hello. Thank you all for watching on FaceTime Live. I have the top five songs here in pop music right now. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Number The Chainsmokers are still at number 5?
Yeah.
Holy crap. The Chainsmokers at number 5. Here you go. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your... Now, this song's catchy, but let me tell you why it's stupid, okay? They just beg for rhymes in this song. It's like, on your shoulder, in Boulder, I told her, go hold her. Like, it's like, what? We got a cool beat here. What words rhyme with Boulder? I mean, that's my only... In the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't never getting older. Like, that song just begs for rhymes. Like, it really makes no sense. They just want to find rhyming words.
Like, we have such a good beat.
It's like, we got such a good beat. It's such a good melody. Like, it don't matter what we say. Like, this is our stand stuff. The cat in the hat. Let's go Dr. Seuss on them. That's number 5, Chainsmokers, Closer. Number 4 is Haley Steinfeld, Starving. I think I said I love this song a couple weeks ago. I do. And you know who made me like it was Kelsey Ballerini playing it acoustically. Mm-hmm. That made me like the real version. I didn't know that I was starving to. I mean, come on. I didn't know I was starving till I tasted you. You give me butter. Wait. You don't give me butterflies. You give me the whole zoo. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Let's see. Bruno Mars, 24K Magic, number 3. I mean, it's basically Uptown Funk Part 2, yeah. But that don't mean it's not good. That don't mean I don't turn it up when it comes on the radio. He's so good. I remember Bruno coming to play our show. Were you working with the show when he played?
No.
And he was playing. He does what Craig Campbell does. He can play anything. And so we were just playing Stump Bruno Mars. And you can look up Bruno Mars Bobby Bone Show on YouTube. It's an old clip.
It's like a million views.
It's got like a million views. Yeah. And sadly, I didn't have my freaking camera. So another dude that worked at the station put it on his YouTube channel. And on his YouTube channel, he got like a million views. And Bruno Mars played everything from Michael Jackson to Eye of the Tiger to whatever. He just said it. It was cool. He's really talented. Like, extremely. Like, yeah. It was really cool. Like, I liked Bruno Mars. I haven't talked to him in 5 years. But he was really cool. We had a few instances where we hung out. But supremely talented. He was in a family band, like, when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the little singer with, like, his mom and dad and stuff. It's cool. Number 2, Black Beatles. You know, these two guys are brothers. You know that?
Yeah.
You know their name?
Their real name?
Yeah. No, the name of the group. Yeah.
It's Ear Drummers Backwards.
Yes, Ear Drummers Backwards. Yeah. How do you know that?
I've seen them before, yeah.
It's, there's no D in drummers. You know what I mean? It's ear, but there's no D, is there?
I think there is.
Is there?
Yeah.
Maybe, whatever, I don't care. yeah, that's what it is. And they're two brothers. Black Beatles. That girl is a real proud beast. You watch a video?
Huh?
You've watched a video of this?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like playing like a garage band thing inside of an apartment.
Yeah.
And he's playing guitar. I don't hear a lot of like guitar like rocking out like it looks like in the video because they're playing like an electric and I don't really hear a lot of that. I like the song.
Yeah, I do. That girl is a real proud piece. Small
world, all the friends know of me. Young bull living like in. If you watch the video, and I try to watch all the videos for all this stuff, I try to stay connected just to everything. I'm like, wait, why are they showing them rocking out in an apartment? They're not rocking out. Like, they're doing their different kind of rock out, but not with a guitar. Like, they're playing punk. And then Starboy from Weekend, number 1. Look what you got. I'm a motherfucking starboy. Look what you got. I mean, this song's a jam. That's a really good song.
Have you heard the album yet?
Not 1 to 13 or whatever it is. Different tracks I have. Yeah. I think I probably have 4 tracks in my list. But you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, everything he puts out as a single is really good. So, yeah. I mean, I imagine it's all good. You know who I've been listening to? And I didn't even know who it was until I saw him on iTunes. But is... Let me find... I have my laptop here, too. But I started listening to that John Bellion. No?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you'll know when I play it. Here, I'll just...
His name sounds familiar.
John... I don't know how to say his name. But his music's real cool. I don't like all the songs on the record, but I never like all the songs on rarely any record. But he was playing in Nashville, and he was came up to the radio station for the pop station, and Hunter Hayes came up to interview him.
Oh, that's maybe where I saw
you. Yeah, and Hunter Hayes was such a big fan, he came up to interview him. So, and the song that was one of the top five songs was, I'll play it for you. I don't know. I saw there's a billboard for, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All-time low. Yeah.
Here you go.
I was the knight in shining armor in your movie. Would put your lips on mine and love the aftertaste now. I'm a ghost, I call your name, you look right through me. You're the reason I'm alone and masturbate. I've been trying to fix my pride, but that shit's broken. That shit's broken.
So that's cool. But the hook's real cool too right here.
That I'm at an all time
low, 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 low.
That's pretty good, huh? That's good. I didn't know it was until I was looking on iTunes and saw it and was playing it back on the air. And everyone was like, you don't know who that is? I was like, I don't. I'm not even sure how you say his name. John Bellion. It's spelled B-E-L-L-I-O-N. So
first time I've heard the not clean version at one line.
Oh, is there not? What wasn't clean?
We said something about I'm alone and he masturbates.
Oh.
That's at the beginning of the song.
That's yeah. But it's serious. He's like, you're the reason I'm alone and I masturbate. Yeah. I'm speaking real stuff.
Take your clothes and rip them off. Call these hoes and tip them off.
Samantha Godinez says, no clue who this is or why it showed up on my newsfeed. I'm not impressed. Okay, bye.
Yeah,
listening to the music here.
Time, you lit the flame.
Somebody, Jason said, I messaged you on Facebook and you never even read it. Listen, first of all, the messages on Facebook are like 10,000 a day. I couldn't keep up with them. Secondly, I don't look at Facebook. I can't take it. Everything on Facebook is so negative. I'm sorry, Jason. Appreciate you posting that message, though. But I'm honest about that. I don't even... Hello? What's happening here? Oh. Anyway, Nada's texting me right now. That's it. I think that's a wrap. She's not impressed, and I have like 100 texts from work. It's stuff that I have to get to now. Great. Anytime I leave the stupid computer and I go back to it, it's like boom, 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 boom. Let's see here. Everybody on Facebook Live, thank you for watching. Why can't we hear the music? Because it's just through headphones, and you're just watching on my phone if you're on FaceTime. Appreciate you guys. Today announced, and you could be hearing this whenever, but my Funny and Alone 2017 stand-up comedy tour is going to 25 or so cities. A couple of them we haven't announced yet for scheduling reasons, but I can't wait to see everybody. And you can go to bobbybonescomedy.com and see all the dates. And it'll be me. I'll be doing my hour-long stand-up comedy routine, and I'll be talking to the audience, and I'll be playing a little music. But I'm also bringing out, which I'm excited about, is... Hold on. Stand by. There we go. I'll also be bringing out Walker Hayes.
Alabama, California, so, make you wanna shake. A little bit, shake, shake, a little bit.
That's Walker Hayes right there.
So ballin', y'all, I'm finna break the internet, break the internet.
Tickets go on sale this Friday, which is, I don't know, December 2nd or something? Yeah, December 2nd. So I'd love for you guys to get tickets. BobbyBonesComedy.com. Come to a show nearest to you. Walker Hayes. We'll be opening, and myself.
Stars, the sky ain't falling, it's just the roof of my car. Stars, the sky ain't falling, it's just the roof of my.
You know, on this, I set purposely because I told my manager, Mary Forrest, I was like, I want to go to North Dakota. I've never been to North Dakota. I want to go to North Dakota. So we booked two shows. I have no idea if anything's going to come. I have no idea. I've never been to North Dakota. And I can't wait because, like, the four people that tweet me from North Dakota, are awesome. So I hope those four people come. But I'm going to Grand Forks and Abismark, both, on two nights. And I can't, I mean, it's going to be fine. I hope people come to North Dakota show. Because nobody's going to be, I don't think people are going to drive to that North Dakota show. It's pretty out there. It's hard to get to, probably. But I hope that that show's fun. I'm looking forward to that one a lot. Just because I've never been up there. But, man, some of these crowds, like Boston's crazy. The Wilbur's awesome. Raleigh, it's actually in Durham, but in the triangle there. And, I mean, there are, anyway, BobbyBonesComedy.com. I'm really excited about it. So, okay. Mike D, anything you'd like to ask?
I wanted, earlier we were talking about the flag football game. What did Lindsay think about your competitive side? Like when you were yelling.
I thought, I don't know. I think she, I don't really do a lot of athletic stuff except work out around her. And I think she saw that I used to be an okay athlete, which was probably kind of weird to her because she was like, I didn't know you were kind of good. And I was like, again, what an honest thing to say. Because obviously I don't look like I can play ball, but that's nice that you said I can a little bit. So it's kind of one of those backhanded compliments. Like, you don't look like you're good, but you kind of, one of those weird things. Bad. Like, and so, but she was a champ. She sat there for 2.5 hours of it. And I don't know. I don't know how she felt about it. Went to Rudy's afterward to eat barbecue from Texas or around Texas. Cause I think they're in Arizona too. And, but Rudy's is awesome, and I Instagrammed where I was. It was like, and I Instagrammed in Snapchat, like, I'm at Rudy's. And so a bunch of listeners came out. And that's the only place, like, when I go back to Texas, because I was in Austin 4 days, and Austin's like home. I still live there. I still have a place. I live downtown. I love it so freaking much. And so it's the only place I could use my Spanish. And so people come up, and, you know, the daughter speaks English, but the daughter, who's probably 30, and the mom or the grandma, she kids whether only speaks Spanish. But I know enough Spanish to get by. I don't ever get to use it in Nashville. And when I was in Austin, all my friends were Hispanic. But I didn't call them Hispanic because they didn't want to be called Hispanic. They all wanted to be called Mexican. So, you know, I knew enough Spanish to get by, and it was rusty for sure. You know, but, yeah, it was fun. I think that caught Lindsay a little off guard. I was like, that's where Roberto Huesos came from.
Yeah.
Because that was my DJ name when I would do the dance party. And that means Bobby Bones in Spanish. And she was like, oh, but I was talking to the grandmother, the mom of the woman who came to me, in Spanish. Broken.
Yeah.
But I was talking to her in Spanish. And she was like, whoa. And I was like, this is me. I'm a complex cat. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. Everything's good. But I don't think she saw the fight part of it.
Oh, okay.
But she was a champ for sitting out there forever. Anything else?
It's good.
Let's see. Tracy Mason Lloyd says, didn't realize how fast you talk. I talk terribly fast. I talk too fast to be on the radio. That's why I was told I'll never be on the radio because I talk so fast. And I don't enunciate very well. And I have a thick accent. So I should never be on the radio. I absolutely agree. I was told that by a radio teacher, not my main one, but one of the broadcasting. You shouldn't be on the radio. You don't speak right. And I was like, you're probably right. But I'm still going to try. You can do anything, man. You can do anything. I'm an example of someone who does not have the talent to be where he is. I do have the work ethic. And that's 90% of it. Work hard until you get lucky. Remember that, because ain't nothing really lucky about it. You're just waiting for your spot. You just work until your spot opens up. That's it. So I appreciate all you guys listening. Anything else, Mike?
You're good, man.
All right. Thank you all for watching on FaceTime. Here's one of your accents, not that thick. I went to a lot of speech pathology to lose what I did, but still people, it's fun to go to Boston, or it's fun to go to places where they have, or to Michigan, or, you know, the Midwest, where it's just like, okay, we'll just acknowledge we have really different accents, and it's funny. Lindsay has a Canadian accent sometimes. It comes out, you know, when she borrows something. She borrows something.
I haven't heard that.
So, yeah, it's funny. Thank you all. Appreciate you, and we'll catch you next time. This has been episode 24 of the Bobbycast. Everybody on Facebook Live, goodbye. Everybody in the Bobbycast world, goodbye. Have a great time. Day, night, weekend, whenever it is. Goodbye. BobbyBonesComedy.com to see the dates. of the tour. Bye, guys.